Maybe no more exciting young player in the big leagues than Luis Robert. He is not a finished product. He drills one to left field and tosses the bat aside. My goodness, where will it land? Way up and out of here. A titanic home run from the rookie Luis Robert. The White Sox have a 1-0 lead.
You know Luis Robert. I know Luis Robert. But all offseason, no one's been talking about Luis Robert. So here on the White Sox Talk podcast, brought to you by Wintrust, we are changing that. Looking back at Luis Robert's 2020 season and what might lie ahead for him in 2021. You know, Robert was the talk of the entire league in his first month in the majors, and there was even some premature MVP talk by yours truly at one point. And yes, he came back down to earth in a big way, struggling like he did in September. But with spring training around the corner, we're going to get you excited about the season and talk about one of the most exciting players, not only on the White Sox, but in the entire major leagues. So it's a podcast devoted to Luis Robert. It's coming your way.
If you travel for work, you know to pack two suits, business and swim. You know with your Delta SkyMiles Business Amex card, buying that plane ticket for a business trip can get you closer to medallion status. You know that a meeting in Montana means visiting almost every national park.
Yellowstone? Check.
Because you're the chief excursion officer. It's why you're a Delta SkyMiles Platinum Business American Express card member. If you travel, you know. Terms apply. Visit go.amex/youknowbusiness.
White Sox! White Sox! Go, go, White Sox!
That ball hit deep, way back! Deep to left field!
Holy cow! Carlton Fisk has put the White Sox ahead!
Jimenez leaves the ballpark!
You can put it on the board! Yes!
We got a chance to do something real special.
All right, sit back, relax, and strap it down. It's time for the White Sox Talk Podcast.
All right, Ryan McGuffey, Vinny Duber, the last time that we saw Luis Robert on a baseball field was game three of the wild card series when he hit that mammoth 478-foot home run in Oakland. But the 4 months that have passed since, we have been focused so much on Lance Lynn, Tony La Russa, Adam Eaton, who the White Sox have acquired and signed, who they haven't signed or acquired. And meanwhile, there's Luis Robert. I think it's time to have a conversation about this guy, what he did in 2020, and what could happen with Luis Robert in 2021. Vinny Duber, let's start with you.
Yeah, well, I'll just start by saying I think that theme can apply to a lot of people who are on this White Sox roster. I think so much attention in the offseason, and again, that's what happens in the offseason. No one's wrong to do it, but is paid to the additions, the potential additions, the guys who could be coming in, who's going to be new. You know, the White Sox had a pretty good roster before the White Sox, or before the offseason rather, even started. And certainly Luis Robert is a part of that. So is Eloy Jimenez. So is Tim Anderson. So is the MVP of the league, Jose Abreu. Guys like Yasmani Grandal, who was a huge offseason addition just a year ago. And everybody's like, all right, well, let's get to the new guys. Let's try and figure out who that is. So certainly I think it could apply to a lot of folks. But yeah, Robert could be an X factor in 2021, if for no other reason than he maybe, you know, they were so good last year in terms of offensive production, and he basically had a half season where he didn't do very well. So if he can take that step, keep growing and produce the way his talent that we know he can, because what we've seen him do from a talent perspective, then look out, that lineup's even that much better.
Yeah, it's recency bias, right? I mean, so like what Vinny was saying, it's all about who's been added or who hasn't been added. And so that's been the talk of literally since the season ended. It's all about who can we get? Why haven't we gotten them? You know, comparing your team to the other teams that are making moves. But there's a reason the White Sox have expectations. There's a reason the White Sox are saying things like World Series. And whether or not people want to believe it out there or not, you know, like social media is not the best barometer all the time. Shocking. This is breaking news, I know. The White Sox have earned the right to be in the conversation for World Series mix because of guys like Luis Robert. Like, he was probably, even though he wasn't ranked number one, probably the most talked about prospect coming up and people that people were excited about in 2020. And, you know, the contract, the specimen, he's of all the five tool prospects in the last 25 years that the White Sox were said to have had when they drafted them or when they acquired them or when they were playing in the minor leagues, he's truly the one that actually has five tools. It's the first time it's like actually that box has been checked where it's like, no, he's got the speed, the power, the arm, the look. Like he's got it all. And I mean, I go down to what Vinny said. It's all about recency bias. There's plenty of guys on this roster that no one has said a word about since game three of the wild card series.
Yeah, but
Guff, I don't have a scouting background. I didn't know look was one of the five tools.
It is to the guy. So technically it's a six tool. So if your Instagram is loaded with the way you look, yes, I think, yeah, he has the social media platform thing down. So yeah, look, it's all encompassing, Vinny. It's an intangible. You can't really grade that on a 20 to 80 scale.
But we are so acutely aware of everything going on with the White Sox and thinking of topics and what's in the air. And it just is funny to me that here was a guy who won a gold glove for the White Sox. First White Sox rookie to ever win one. Last White Sox outfielder to win a gold glove. You have to go back 50 years to Ken Berry in 1970. He finishes second in rookie of the year. And I think I said that he hit that ball 478 feet. It was actually 487 feet. Longest home run by a White Sox player in the StatCast era. And he did it the first time he's playing in the playoffs, game three. And he's the youngest White Sox player to ever hit a home run in the playoffs. And he also had a really good bat flip on that too. So I guess my feeling is the season just abruptly stopped after that game. And I just want to pick things up as spring training is about to begin again. Not that people need to be reminded about Luis Robert, but man, what's in store in 2021? The wow factor with him was off the charts, and he was 22 years old playing a third of a baseball season.
We have heard throughout this rebuilding process, right, that, you know, when guys have come up first and struggled maybe a little bit, or they've had their slumps in certain seasons, you know, in the dog days of summer, that, you know, these guys are young and they're not done developing. They've got a while to go. They're not the finished products yet. Certainly that applies to Luis Robert from a just a, you know, visual standpoint for the fan and for the observer more than it ever did to anybody else, because he played a 60-game season. That's it. If you think that's Luis Robert, I don't think anybody is even thinking that, because it's so obvious that he's only gotten just a little bit of taste of the major leagues. This guy could be a totally different player in 2021, let alone what he's going to be in 2022 and 2023 and beyond. Certainly the way his teammates talk about him, it sounds like, you know, they know that he's going to be so much more than what we see, and what we see is already impressive. Just imagine as he keeps going forward in that developmental process, and he's doing it at the big league level for a team that is competing for the World Series, partially because of the impact that he makes.
Vinny, I'm surprised you haven't brought up the license plate yet.
Yeah, oh man, and now you're really teasing something. Everybody's gonna be like, oh, what is this great license plate story? No, I heard we were doing a Luis Robert themed podcast tonight. It just so happens that on you know, on the drive that I was doing earlier today, out on the Eisenhower on a 290 in the snow, I was behind somebody who had a White Sox vanity plate that said Lou Rob, an obvious reference to Luis Robert, I'm assuming, though that's not the nickname that he went with. You know, it's kind of a nickname that a lot of people are still calling him.
I'm just hoping that the
person... It was him. But, you know,
It might be Luis Robert from Cicero. Like, it just might be another Luis Robert.
Or Louis Roberts.
Yeah, Louis
Louis Roberts. I just hope that whoever has that license plate is listening to this podcast at some point, because that would fit.
We're Subaru Bros, whoever it was.
I'll say this about Luis Robert, the actual player. I'm probably as excited, if not more, to see him in 2021, because I just felt like it was an incomplete in 2020. We were having podcasts at the end of July or at the end of August talking about, is he the MVP of the league? I mean, remember those? And then he offensively was, I think he was the worst player in baseball in September. He was one of the worst baseball players offensively in September because the league found him out. Like, they figured him out, and there was that learning curve that had happened that you knew you couldn't groove a fastball to a guy like Luis Robert. So I just felt like we just got a tease. It was like an appetizer of seeing a guy come up, get a major league call up on August 1st. And then it kind of like Frank Thomas in like 1990. And you're like, God, I can't wait to see that guy in 1991. That's what it feels like to me with Luis Robert, is that the excitement level that he created and the curiosity of how he can handle, you know, struggling. And then to see it happen, to see him kind of bounce out of it in the playoffs, Chuck, you know, you mentioned that home run.
Yeah, that's what I wanted to bring up. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that was that sign, like, oh my God, he's not just going to finish the season bottoming out. And
he batted 308 in the playoffs.
Right. And so I'm just like, I think my curiosity level and my excitement level to see Luis Robert, it might be higher than it was at the beginning of last summer, just because of now I know what he can do. And to come out of something like that, to perform like that in the playoffs, these guys are machines. Like, they're human beings, but they're also so routine based. And last year, everything was thrown out of whack. Their entire routine was thrown out of whack. They were 2 weeks away from starting a major league season and then just got completely shut down for 2.5-3 months. So now that they've, and there was a little bit of uncertainty in this offseason, but now that they know they're going to report to spring training, and at least for the time being that April 1st is opening day, they are back to that machine-like program that all of these guys are a part of top to bottom.
I'll say this. So what is the question going into 2021 for Luis Robert is, how good can Luis Robert be? Right. I think that really tells you everything you need to know, because the question last year going into 2020 was, can he avoid the similar struggles that we've seen from other guys when they came up? Certainly Yoan Moncada comes to mind, but even someone on the pitching side like Lucas Giolito and Eloy Jimenez, for as many home runs as he hit, you know, in his rookie season, certainly he went through similar struggles as well. Luis Robert was very confident, and his teammates were all very confident in him that he was going to be able to handle those struggles. But because of the shortened season, it made up 50% of that shortened season, the period of struggle. In a regular season, that's 1 out of 6 months of the regular season, and it could be very different. So I think everybody is kind of coming into 2021 knowing, all right, that was the struggle period. We knew, maybe, you know, most people maybe knew that it was going to come, because that's what happens to rookies in the big leagues. And now it's, all right, he's getting past that, or he started to get past in the playoffs, and now he's had a whole offseason to work on it. How high can he fly come 2021?
What made Frank Thomas so crazy in September when he was struggling was, here is Luis Robert, all the talent in the world, and he felt like the White Sox were not putting him in a position to succeed by having him bat in front of Nomar Mazara and have him move up in the lineup. Now, when the wild card round came around, he was being protected by Adam Engel, who was actually hitting the ball pretty well. But I think at that point, Luis was in a better spot regardless, and I don't think it really would have mattered who was batting behind him. But, you know, he had that terrible month. Okay, terrible month. Like you said, Guff, maybe the worst hitter in September. He finished the season with 11 home runs. Luis Robert, at 22, had more home runs than Anthony Rendon, Max Kepler, Vlad Jr., Nolan Arenado, Javi Baez, J.D. Martinez. How does that sound?
Usually a pretty impressive company.
Yeah. His first 33 games, he had 10 home runs, batted 298. He slugged 612. Last 23 games of the regular season, okay, he batted 136 with 32 strikeouts. Where do you think he's going to bat in 2021? Where should he bat?
I think he should at least start the season down like around about where he finished the season. It's like, there's no reason to just throw him into the middle of the lineup right now, when you don't really need him to be that guy. I think like in that seven, I think you need him to be that guy, but you don't need him to be that guy on April 1st. You still need to see like what Vinny just said, the learning curve and him being a part of those growing pains and stuff. He's played 60 games. So to me, he should hit around that seven hole again. You thank God Nomar Mazara is not back. Like, you have better protection now throughout that lineup 1 through 6 than you did last year. I don't, if we're having this conversation in July, he's probably not hitting 7th, but
where would you have him bat
right
in
now?
July or whenever. I mean, where do you see his potential being?
I mean,
he can do the most damage
in this lineup. He should be hitting middle. I mean, he should be hitting. I know he's got the speed and a lot of people think top of the order. I don't know if he's that guy. I think he's more of a middle of the order guy personally.
I think he'll hit 6th in Tony La Russa's lineup, at least to start the season, right? Because you think of who's behind him. And I think 8 and 9, certainly you can already put it in and pen with Adam Eaton and Nick Madrigal. And then I'm guessing Andrew Vaughn is going to be the DH, or maybe someone else will until Andrew Vaughn comes up, but that spot point is going to be 7th, right? That would be my guess. You're probably going to have your same 1-2 with TA and Moncada. Certainly Abreu is going to bat 3rd, and then you're probably looking at Grandal and Eloy at 4th and 5th, right? So
no, Grandal cannot hit 4th.
Yeah. Bring him down. He will not be batting 4th.
Hold on.
Ricky Renteria is not the manager anymore. Yasmani Grandal should be hitting like 6th or 7th. I will ride Frank. You want something that pissed off Frank more than Luis Robert? Yasmani Grandal hitting where he was hitting. That pissed off Frank more than probably Luis Robert. Chuck, don't you think?
Yeah, that made him crazy.
That can't happen.
I mean,
what is the giant difference between him batting 4th or him batting 5th?
I don't think he should be hitting 5th. I think he should
either be lower. He's not a 4 or 5 hole hitter.
He needs to go 6 or 7, ideal.
Yeah.
To have a wild, you know, I'm getting furious opinion that he's batting 4th or 5th, and then you're saying, okay, he should bat 6th. That doesn't seem to be that much difference to me.
Wasn't he batting 3rd a couple of times?
A few times, yes. But certainly Abreu will be batting 3rd.
All right, a quick pause here on the White Sox Talk podcast. We're coming back after this.
If you travel, you know how to pull off a perfect getaway. You know, after you enroll with your Delta SkyMiles Platinum American Express card, you get up to $10 back monthly on U.S. rideshare purchases with select providers, like a car to the airport. You know which remote retreats have the best herbal baths and where the Wi-Fi password is rarely used, because you're the escape artist. It's why you're a Delta SkyMiles Platinum American Express card member. If you travel, you know. Terms apply. Purchases must be on card. Visit go.amex/you know.
Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
I like this. Now, maybe not on opening day, but I do love the idea of Luis Robert leading off, followed by TA.
I think eventually it makes a ton of sense.
Then you go Moncada 3rd, Abreu 4th, Eloy 5th. Grandal, okay, maybe 6th, or maybe you put Vaughn there and then it's Grandal, Eaton, Madrigal.
I mean, that's just saying that, Chuck, I'm scared for other people.
I love that.
That's now I hear that and I'm like, yeah, I mean, Luis Robert probably does make most sense up there.
And then, sorry to interrupt you. And then, because the other part of that is, so you have him leading off, then you get to like Adam Eaton in the order. Yeah. Okay, so how about him leading off an inning? It goes Eaton, Madrigal, Robert batting 3rd. And then there's rolls right into TA and those guys.
Get him on, get him over, get him in.
I mean, that bottom of the lineup, like, find me a better bottom of the lineup in baseball. Forget all those guys that are going to – forget those first 6 guys. Like, that 7 through 9, oh, like, that's a great problem to have, guys. I mean, like, let's be honest. It's really like when you're talking about like being mad about Yasmani Grandal hitting 4th or 5th, you know, I mean,
the reason why Frank doesn't want, and I agreed with him, and I know Guff did too, why he doesn't want Grandal batting where he does is Grandal hits some big home runs, doesn't make a ton of contact and gets like, doesn't do a lot of like those little things, gets, draws some walks, strikes out a lot. So that's why he's thinking he's better suited batting sixth or seventh. So Robert,
if that's what ends up happening, like you said, that's a great thing to have. If you're putting a guy with the track record of Yasmani Grandal in the seven hole,
that's where he was.
That means your lineup's really, really good.
Yeah, that's where he was a lot with the Dodgers, and I believe that with the Brewers too. So you can look that up if you want, Cuff. In the meantime, I was looking at Robert's strikeouts. So yeah, he struck out a ton. Now, he also struck out less than Christian Yelich and Javi Baez, who had terrible years, and Miguel Sano, who struck out 90 times. I think Robert struck out about 73 times, 71 times. He had 20 walks in 56 games. So you stretch that out over a full season, that's about 50 walks for Luis Robert. Now, would you have expected that? I would not think he'd have that kind of plate discipline to draw that many walks. Would you guys have assumed that his rookie year?
Certainly just him being a rookie and facing major league pitching for the first time, you would think that the strikeouts would be high and that he, you know, and that because of that, the number of walks would not be there. But again, this is something we saw with Yoan Moncada, right? I mean, in the season before his first full season, so when he came up, that would have been, what, 2017? Is that right? Yeah. He walked a ton. Even while he was having those struggles, the confidence from the White Sox that he was going to be able to turn that around was based on the fact that he had that plate discipline. And so many of those strikeouts were actually attributed to the fact that maybe he was such a master of the strike zone that he was taking pitches that he thought were balls that the umpire maybe didn't agree with. And that was what was getting him in trouble. Then he starts swinging more and things get better for him. So who knows what Luis Robert's evolution will be like, but you're seeing that with some of these guys that have come up and had success drawing walks initially.
I think that I haven't talked to Luis Robert about this. I'm not sure he would even admit it. Like Tim Anderson has admitted it, that he basically for the first few years just did not even have an approach. He just went up to the plate and just let his raw talent take over. I get the feeling that for the most part, that is what Luis Robert did his rookie year. Like, how would he really, really know what all these pitchers were going to do against him and study like Tim is now doing? And if that's the case, imagine what Luis Robert will eventually become. Now, you don't see it this way, Guff?
I thought in August he had an approach that I was actually stunned at the amount of times that he took a walk early on in those first 2 to 3 weeks of the season. I expected him to be up there just swinging at everything, anything close, right? Like that Little League rule, just if it's close, hit it.
Yeah, but I'm talking about like the research, the planning, the game plan. I don't think he really did that. He kind of kept it simple and just like let his eyes and body just dictate what he did.
Yeah, I can't argue with that. I don't think a lot of guys at that. I mean, find me a guy who's a rookie, I'm not named Mike Trout, that came up there and had like an actual game plan. You know, like I feel like
Mike Trout didn't do so hot when he first came up either.
Well, yeah, that's true. But like he got set, like it all worked out.
Yeah. Yes, it did.
I want to talk about Luis Robert's defense. Oh, by the way, did you get Grandal's numbers there or no?
I did. And yeah, sorry that I got sidetracked by Yasmani. He has literally hit 1 through 9 all over the place. The fewest times he's let off 15 games in his career, but everything else, like he's been all over. His best splits, if I'm just looking from an OPS standpoint, it's 7th and 2nd. I mean, he has an OPS of 874 hitting 2nd. That's over 57 games and 133 games. He has an OPS of 865 hitting 7th and 850 hitting 6th. When you put him, like, here's what his OPS hitting 3rd is 701, 772 hitting 4th, and 766 hitting 5th. I mean, again, I just think in this lineup, you know, his on-base percentage is, his on-base percentage 3-4 and 5 is 319, 343, 336. He's a 370 OBP guy. Like, he just doesn't belong in the middle of the lineup. Yeah. Even his career numbers tell you that.
So I want to talk about Luis Robert's defense. First off, do you know who had the most putouts of any outfielder in the majors in 2020?
Luis Robert.
Yeah. He had 151, seven more than anybody else.
Mainly well, he took at least stealing, yes,
he's exactly, the ball right. from Eloy Jimenez all the time.
And Leury Garcia.
Eloy and Leury are yeah. are like they're in there. They're looking at their future. You know, they don't need arbitration, but if they were, they'd be looking at it like, hey, I can't put up the same defensive stats that I always do because we got Luis Robert catching every fly ball in the outfield.
That's correct.
He made only one error. He had the second best range. Here was the stat that shocked me, and it has nothing to do with Luis Robert. Do you know who played the most games in the major leagues in left field in 2020?
Eloy.
Yeah.
It's why he took down, like, he's Silver Slugger. And yeah, I mean, I know the qualifying numbers were much lower this year, but yeah.
So I don't know why I'm so surprised, but I am.
For a guy who doesn't do anything quietly because of what his personality is, I mean, he quietly had just an amazing season last year.
Yeah.
I mean, you want to talk about the guy that nobody's talking about, Chuck. How about Eloy Jimenez, who won a Silver Slugger? If it wasn't for Jose Abreu on his own team winning the MVP and Tim Anderson continuing to do what Tim Anderson does, Eloy Jimenez is one of the best hitters in baseball last year.
Amen.
Or should that be the podcast? Eloy Jimenez.
Amen. We're calling it audible. Omaha.
I agree with Vinny. I agree with Vinny. And I even told Chuck, can I give my bold prediction that I told you before this podcast? Or do you want me to bite my tongue and hold it for another edition?
No, you can say it. Go ahead.
I think I'm going to ride Vinny's coattails here because I don't disagree with you whatsoever. And I think my bold prediction for 2021 is that Eloy Jimenez leads the American League in home runs.
Yeah, all right. I might co-sign that one.
Yeah, well, I'll take $10 and we'll put a small wager on it, Vinny, and we'll buy a lot more beers because of it.
There you go.
So you feel like he's the guy that people aren't talking about and they should.
No, I think you're right to bring up Luis Robert. And I think it's for different reasons too, because I think Luis Robert turns into a caliber hitter like everybody expects him to, a caliber hitter like Eloy Jimenez and like Jose Abreu and like Tim Anderson. Then all of a sudden you got a fourth MVP candidate in the middle of that White Sox lineup.
And here's what happens.
And that makes it just impossible to face if you're an opposing pitcher.
And here's what happens with that. When you have a team that you're like, we just laughed about hitting 1 through 9, like Chuck, you gave that lineup and it's like, oh my God, like find the weak spot. Right. Somebody's always going to have like stretches where they just do what they do and no one says a word about them. Like you're going to have a stretch where like Moncada only hits 320. But because Luis Robert makes some stupid plays in the outfield and Eloy hits 7 homers in a 6-game stretch, no one's talking about Yoan Moncada hitting 320 with 2 homers this week or Adam Eaton, you know, hitting 290 with like a 370 up. Like no one's going to talk about the guys who are just doing what they do. And to Vinny's point, when you have guys that you can make a valid argument, 5 guys for possible MVP, 3 guys for Cy Young, like other guys are going to get overshadowed all the time when you have talent like this. And for so long, for the last 3-4 years now of the White Sox rebuild, there's been so much spotlight on every single guy that's come up. It's like, oh, here's Moncada. And then it was Kopech. And then like every guy had their spotlight moment. And it just felt like we were so tunnel visioned on those guys at that time. And now they're all here and like your head's just on a swivel. And unless you have an outgoing, charismatic personality that's kind of in your face like TA, you know, you could get run over some ways on who people talk about. Like I think Moncada's another good example. You know, like there's just so many guys on this team that are so good that are going to do so well that people are always going to focus on the guy that's doing it, like superhuman things or the guy who's struggling, right?
Who is the guy in this lineup that – You'll stop what you're doing to watch. Who is it?
Luis Robert.
Eloy Jimenez for me.
Oh,
those are the two guys I won't go to the bathroom. It'll be because I think Eloy's going to hit one 500 feet. And then I think Robert's going to hit one 525. So I agree.
And then too, like Guff just said, it matters what time of the year is happening too. For 2 months during the regular season last year, that person was Jose Abreu.
Yep.
He not only did he always seem to be the guy at the plate when the White Sox needed a big hit, he often delivered it too. And you so,
see, but do you see what I mean here, Vinny? Like the White Sox had the MVP of the entire league, and we're not talking about him. We have not mentioned Jose Abreu's name whatsoever in 35 minutes. Like that in and of itself is insane.
Yeah. And I think that, like I said at the beginning of the show, I think that is a byproduct of the off season. And it's like, everybody looks at the roster and it's, how can we improve it? How can we make it different? And because baseball's off season now drags on all the way to the start of spring training, that is the singular focus for months and months at a stretch. And people forget, oh, wait, the White Sox roster was really, really good to begin with. It doesn't mean it couldn't have been improved, and it has been improved. It just means that it was really good to begin with, and the guys who are already here are the reason that they're a World Series contender. The guys that have come in are the cherries on top.
I'm looking ahead to the start of the season, and I'm thinking, oh, April, it's going to be cold for Luis Robert in Chicago. Mm-hmm. One small thing is I'm glad they start in Anaheim. Assuming this season starts on time, you go to Anaheim and then Seattle. Probably be indoors. So that might be a nice soft landing for these guys to start the season.
I'm still going to say that home opener is probably going to have some flurries. Yeah. It usually always does.
Yeah, let's be honest. I mean, when they come home and it's 41, real field temperature of 29, you know, that'll hit you.
He's going to have that that mask that comes up, that covers your entire head and leaves only your eyes.
Yeah, probably until like June 1.
What are you talking about? You said there was some Instagram photos that Luis Robert put out of him in the snow somewhere, and he doesn't even have a shirt on, and he said he's melting the snow. He's so hot.
A 3-minute photo shoot is a lot different than a 3.5-hour baseball game.
if you notice, Luis wears his jersey during the games also. So,
yeah.
But warm him up.
Yeah. I mean, that is part of the curiosity with him to see how he, like, they came in. It was 85, 90 degrees every day when the season started. And it was more like they were playing at home than they were playing in Chicago because, you know, let's be honest, like it's going to be that temperature is going to fluctuate all the way up to Memorial Day. So that'll be part of the learning curve too, you know?
You know, and I'm thinking about Luis Robert, but I'm also thinking a lot about White Sox fans right now, because this will be, you assume at some point, fans are going to be allowed in the ballpark in 2021. They're going to be able to see Luis Robert in person. And that is going to be exciting when he does these crazy things and his fans in the stadium to react to it and experience it. That's going to be awesome.
I think like that's another element for all of these guys, you know, like it's like how much did that, when you're really young and you came up through the minor leagues and you have lack of fan support, you know, there's hundreds of people at some of those games. I don't think like, you know, any different, but even like, that's why I give Abreu even like more of a hat tip to what he did. Seeing these guys perform, you know, Giolito throwing a no hitter with no fans. I mean, it's going to bring an energy. I think we're going to see an appreciation for fans unlike we've ever seen before in sports. And hopefully that resonates and translates into success for not just, you know, individual guys, but the White Sox. Like, let's just be honest. At this point, let's just hope that the three of us can sit down and watch a game together at some, you know, this season. I mean, the idea of sitting in a full ballpark doesn't even feel like it's hard to even fathom that right now with everything we've been going through.
I just want fans in a ballpark. It doesn't have to be full. Give me half. Give me something.
Oh, amen.
Yeah. So listen,
Texas, Chuck.
Yeah, in Texas, Florida, Texas, Arizona. But I wanted to devote this podcast to Luis Robert. It could have been for Eloy Jimenez. Of course, that's my brother.
So your co-pilot.
Yeah.
Chuck Jimenez.
But I just felt like, listen, Luis Robert, it did some special things and so much more is coming. And I just wanted to take like a pause from this off season and reflect on who he was, who he is, and who he's going to be. And it is just gets me even more excited for the season. Talking about Luis Robert,
the memories will come back starting next week, or you know, when these guys report, and you know, we start seeing, you know, and obviously it'll be Zoom call interview footage, but we start seeing Zoom calls with them on it. And, you know, they're in their jerseys or their warm-up gear. And it's like, oh yeah, this guy's on the team. Oh yeah.
Yeah. I totally agree, Vinny. Like it almost doesn't, I look at the calendar and I'm like, well, I know what it says, but baseball's not starting for another three. It just feels like we've been stripped of so much stuff that the idea of a baseball season starting on time, it's hard to fathom. And to see these guys all report, and let's just hope and cross our fingers that protocols and every, like all these other sports, and quite frankly, baseball did pull it off. I mean, they pulled it off last year. So let's hope, I mean, there is at least a light at the end of the tunnel. Now I just hope that the patience, that gap to get to that light is not rushed for any reason. And I just hope that Major League Baseball, you got to be impressed. They should, hopefully they've learned from what they did last year and certainly what all of the other leagues have been able to do, including the NFL this year, because there's really no reason at this point that these teams can't pull it off. Not to say that they won't be impacted by the pandemic or COVID or all that stuff. It's just, it's going to be real interesting to see how it all pans out.
If they got through a football season during the height of the pandemic,
it's crazy.
I'm feeling pretty good about baseball. I'm not saying it's going to be smooth sailing, but I mean, wow. I didn't think they'd be able to start a season, let alone finish it. And they did. It wasn't like perfect, but they did it. So I'm feeling pretty good about, knock on wood, the Major League Baseball season and what we're going to see from Luis Robert. Got anything more you guys want to say?
I can't wait to start talking about Luis Robert again.
You just spent half an hour talking about Luis Robert.
What do you mean?
Well, I know, but like to the point where it's like, we're going to say, oh my God, we haven't even mentioned this guy. It's like, it's going to happen. It's going to happen. We're going to start talking about Luis Robert for MVP again. Like it's going to happen. And then we're going to be like, oh my God, you know, we realize we haven't even talked about Nick Madrigal and he's hitting 342. Like it's going to happen.
Nick Madrigal batted 343. No one even talks about that.
See what I mean? Chuck, now we have to do another Nick Madrigal podcast.
Well, I took care of that one.
He just had one of those.
He says he's going to get 3,000 career hits. So.
What's next? I mean, is he going to beat Barry Bonds' home run record too?
I mean, talk about putting yourself out there.
What he does. All right. Well, that's me a wrap for this edition of the White Sox Talk podcast, brought to you by WinTrust, your home for White Sox. Check in with free ATMs nationwide. Go to their special White Sox webpage. It is www.wintrust.com/Sox. Hawk Harrelson, take it away.
Thanks, Art Chuck. And this edition of the White Sox Talk podcast is over.